This morning I want to talk about Jesus the Christ. And I'm going to suggest that you turn to the book of John because we're going to spend most of our time in the book of John. And what we're going to do is we're going to see Jesus the Christ. And first of all, I will tell you that I had a PowerPoint fixed to bring, but I, some reason or other, I could not get it to load to the thumb drive, so we're doing without this morning, and I apologize for that. But when we think about Jesus the Christ, the word Christ is the same as Messiah in the Old Testament. And when we look at that word and look at the definition, it's simply defined as anointed, one who is specifically chosen for a specific task. And so thus we're talking about God's anointed, the one that God sent into the world. And someone might say, well, all of us who are here believe that Jesus is God's Son and he's the Messiah. So what are we talking about? Well, we're going to spend most of our time in the book of John. And in a recent lesson, I made the point that when we talk about the miracles of Jesus, there are many of them, but John only records 7, and he says of these that these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life in his name, John 20, 30, and 31. So that's to convince us that Jesus is the Son of God and that we might believe on him. But when we talk about what John says about him, we turn to the book of John, the first chapter that Duane read in your hearing just a little while ago. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it's referring to someone who came into the world that was from the beginning. The same was in the beginning with God. Whoever or whatever the Word is, it's from the beginning. And without him was not anything made that has been made. And he was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Christ came into the world as the Messiah. He demonstrated through the miracles that I just referred to his omniscience and his godhood and his Godhead, the fact that he was of the Godhead, and yet the people did not believe him for the most part, and he made many enemies, of course, because of that. And then John the Baptist comes and testifies of who Jesus is. He was not the Messiah, and he said he wasn't, but that one was coming who would be the one that would deliver his people from their sins. And in John 1 and verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word became flesh, and John is affirming this in his testimony concerning Jesus. And if you drop down in this chapter to verse 29 of the chapter, it says, John the Baptist sees Jesus coming, and he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is before me. In other words, he said he existed before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. For this cause came I baptizing in water. John said, I came for the purpose of preparing the way for this one who is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And John bare witness, saying, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove from heaven and abode on him. And, of course, that was at Christ's baptism. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize in water, he said unto me, upon whomsoever you shall see the Spirit descending and abiding upon him, the same is he that baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and bear witness that this is the Son of God. So John the Baptist is revealing that he was a witness to the fact that this Spirit descended on Christ in the form of a dove, and he said, he is the Son of God. And on the morrow, John was standing and two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and says, behold, the Lamb of God. So we have John's testimony that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you continue in this and go on down in the chapter to verse 40, it says, one of the two of John's disciples who heard John speak, saying that he's the Lamb of God, followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He finds first his own brother Simon and says unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus said he would be called Cephas. But here is the testimony. Andrew says, we have found the Messiah, or the Christ, in this. So we're going to look now at a number of the testimonies that are given by John concerning Jesus, or recording those things. And in John the 4th chapter, if you'll turn over there to verses 25 and 26. And this is the case where Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. And Jesus refers to himself he's told her things about herself, and they had a discussion about where you worship. And in verse 25, the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah comes, that he that is called Christ. When he has come, he will declare unto us all things. Jesus said unto her, I am the one who was speaking to her. He said, that's himself. He says, I am. What is he saying? He is. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And then when we go down to verse 42, we have the comments concerning the people the Samaritans. And they first went because of the testimony of the woman that he had told her all these things. And so they came out and they asked Jesus to abide with them 2 days. And verse 41 says, and many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of your speaking, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. The things that Jesus taught them in those 2 days convinced them that he was the Savior of the world, and they said, now we believe. So that whatever it was that Jesus taught convinced them that he was, of course, the Christ, the Savior of the world. And we're going to proceed through the book of Job and look at some other statements that are made by Christ and that he records. And so John is recording these things so that we might believe that he is the Son of God. So if you'll turn to the 6th chapter, and in the 6th chapter, verse 35 beginning, it says, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall not hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you have seen me and yet believe not. All that which the Father gives me shall come unto me, and he that comes to me I will in no wise cast him out. For I am come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that all that which he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone that beholds the Son and believes on him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So once again, we have Jesus saying, I am something. He says, I am the bread of life. He is the source of spiritual sustenance. His word, the things that he has spoken, and everything that he has set in place for us is from him. And he is therefore the source of this. We continue in John the 8th chapter as well. Beginning in verse 12, again, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So what, when Christ comes into the world, he says that I am the light of the world. He's come to illuminate the world, to help us see him and to see the Father and to do his will and to profit from and benefit from what he has come to do. And then he says, the one that follows him shall not walk in darkness, referring to the fact that one who follows him will not walk in sin, but will have the light of life, the hope of everlasting life, the source of spiritual enlightenment is Jesus, and he came to enlighten us, to help us to see the Father. He tells them that when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's not talking about his physical presence. He's talking about who he is spiritually, and it's incontrovertible that he is the likeness of his Father. He bears all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And while we're in the 8th chapter also, in verse 23, he tells the people that he is going to be leaving them. And he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. And he said, you'll seek me and die in your sins. But he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Those individuals who would have us believe that Jesus was just a good man, deceived, self-deceived into thinking he was deity or that he was the Son of God, are mistaken in all of this. Jesus said, I'm not of this world. He did not come from this world. He came from heaven, and so he is not a part of this world. He lived here as a man, but fully God as well. And so I'm from above. I'm not of this world. And the example that he sets is to help us to say that we're not of this world, that we have obeyed the gospel, we are following him, and the world is foreign to us. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we look for a house whose builder and maker is God. And so we're looking in that direction rather than looking to things here on earth. But while we're in the eighth chapter also, we come down to verse 58. And he is telling them he's not glorifying himself. He is my Father, he says, that glorifies me in verse 54. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be like you, a liar, but I know him and keep his word. And then he speaks of Abraham, and he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham is the one who was looking for this city, and he was aware that the Christ was coming. In him would all the families of the earth be blessed. And in verse 57, the Jews therefore said unto him, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? So they're looking for an answer for who he is. And he said, I say unto you, behold, before Abraham was, I am. What does that tell you about his claim? His claim is that I am, that is not past tense, that's not future tense, that's present tense. He said, I am. He has always been. He is eternal, and that's the point that he is making in this. They took up stones, therefore, to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. So he's proclaimed himself as being eternal in this. And if we compare with this, the book of Exodus, we look at the time when Moses was chosen by God to lead the people of Israel out of Egyptian captivity. And you go to Exodus, the third chapter, and Moses is speaking with God, and he is saying that he is not the one to go. In verse 11, he says, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? He doesn't think it's his job. And he said, certainly I will be with you and shall be a token unto you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said to God, behold, I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. He is Almighty God. He is eternal in all things. And if you look in John the 17th chapter, we'll skip ahead, we'll come back in just a few minutes here. But in John the 17th chapter, in the prayer that Jesus prays to his Father, he says, too many pages at once. These things spoke Jesus, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he should give eternal life. And this is the life eternal, that they should know you, the only true God, and him who you did send, even Jesus Christ. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify you me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. What's the claim that John is saying Jesus made in this prayer? Well, that he is eternal. And John pens this to help us understand that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is eternal. And he is not of this earth. He is not just a man. He's not just a special man, though he was that, but he was not just a man in the flesh. He was God in the flesh. Now we go to the 10th chapter, back up to chapter 10 of John. And in John chapter 10, beginning in verse 7, it says, Jesus therefore said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He's talking about a fold of sheep, the means of entrance for sheep into safety. And he says, all that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out, and shall find pasture. The thief comes not, but to he may steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they may have life and may have it abundantly. So first of all, he is the means of entrance into the fold, his fold, and therefore he says his sheep. And so those who are followers of Christ, who are disciples of Christ, are sheep. And of course, it's a metaphor used to describe us as we submit to the shepherd. And he goes on to say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So Jesus is saying what he, as the good shepherd, is going to do. He that is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, beholds the wolf comes and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. What's the role of the shepherd? To lead the sheep, not to drive them, but to go before them and to lead them and to protect them. And he says, even as thy Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I laid down my life for the sheep. And then he goes on to talk about the other sheep that he must bring in. And of course, he's referring at that point to the Gentiles that would come in to the kingdom of Christ as well. But he is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And it reminds us of 1 Peter 2 and verse 25. In that place, Peter, talking about those who are suffering and persecuted, he says, for you were going astray as sheep, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Those individuals who were drifting away, who were being unfaithful or were tempted to be unfaithful, he said, you were going astray as sheep, Sheep that are neglected wander away. The good shepherd goes before them, and so he is. This reminds us of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is our shepherd, and he will supply our spiritual needs, the things that we must have. And I think sometimes people have the idea that Jesus Christ is responsible for providing every physical thing and every material thing that we might desire or want. But he leads us by still waters. He restores our soul. His rod and his staff comfort us. The 23rd Psalm is comforting and is often read by even unbelievers for the comfort that they derive from that great psalm. But the Lord is my shepherd. If I follow the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, return to him, I will have the spiritual needs supplied that I am looking for in Christ. And also then in the 10th chapter and verse 36, and Jesus now is also contending with the Jews that are questioning him. And he has said, my sheep hear my voice and they know me and follow me. In verse 27, they hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give life unto them, eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. That's in verse 27. And then in verse 34, Jesus answered them, because he was making himself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If you call them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, say you unto him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you blaspheme, because I said, I am Son of God. Jesus said, I am Son of God. There are some who say Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. Others said it about him. Jesus said, I am Son of God. So we can trust him that he is what he claimed to be. I'm the Son of God. But we go into the 11th chapter also, and we start in verse 25, and Jesus is at the home of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and Lazarus has died. And Martha said to Jesus, in verse 21, Martha therefore said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And even now I know that whatsoever you ask of God, God will give it to you. She has faith in Jesus. Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She was a believer in the resurrection of the dead. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes on me shall never die. Believe you this? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he that comes into the world. So Jesus makes it clear. He said, those who believe on me, I am the resurrection and the life. He's the means by which people will be raised from the dead. She believed in the resurrection. But without Christ dying on the cross and rising again, there'd be no hope. And in the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, Paul makes that clear. If Christ hasn't raised from the dead, we won't be raised, and we're yet in our sins. So, but Christ raised from the dead, and He is the resurrection and the life. And John, in writing again, this time in the book of 1 John, in 1 John, the 5th chapter, in 1 John 5 and verse 11, it says, And the witness is this, that God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. It depends on Christ that we would have eternal life. This life is in His Son. Let's go on. Let's go to John chapter 14. And we see another affirmation on the part of Jesus. And this is one that is so familiar to us. In the 14th chapter in verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's an exclusive statement. Now, there are a lot of people who say there are many ways for us to go, and they would tie it to Jesus if they would. But the point is that Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So the truth bears a part in this. If we are to experience that eternal life with Him. When Thomas says, show us the way, Jesus said, I'm the way. If you want to go to the Father, you have to come by me. I am the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is God's word, but Christ is, in a metaphor here, said to be the truth. He's the source of it. And He would send the Holy Spirit to guide the apostles into all truth and then life. So we can come to the Father. Over in Acts, the 4th chapter and verse 12, it says, and in none other is there salvation. For neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved. No other name. It's not just simply saying Jesus, Jesus. And so many denominational people are told, just believe in Jesus, just say Jesus, Jesus, and you'll be saved. Jesus said differently than that. And John records this, that no other name, that is, no other authority. And in Acts the 10th chapter and verse 43, where Peter is talking to the and preaching to the household of Cornelius, he says in verse 43, to him bear all the prophets witness that through his name, that is, through his authority, everyone who believes on him shall receive remission of sins. People love Jesus, but they don't want to deal with the sin problem. And so this is the case. You have to believe on him, and through his authority, we have remission of sins. That simply means that whatever he requires in order for us to have remission of sins is his authority. And it authorizes that kind of thing. In John the 15th chapter then, and in 15 beginning in verse 1, I am the true vine. and my father is a husbandman. He's giving them an agricultural illustration. And he says in this metaphor, I am the true vine and my father's the husband, and every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he cleanses it, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, so neither can you except you abide in me. We come into Christ, we're baptized into Christ. We have a relationship with him. And he says we can't bear fruit unless we abide in him. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Can't do anything spiritual that accomplishes anything outside of Christ. If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. We have to bear fruit in Christ. And so he is the way altogether. I am the vine. And then we go to the book of Revelation, the first chapter. And in Revelation, the first chapter, beginning in verse 8, Jesus says, it says, it records the words of Jesus as John records him. I am the Alpha and the Omega. We would say the A and the Z of an alphabet. That's the beginning and end of the Greek alphabet. Says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, the I Am. And then you drop down to verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet, and he laid his hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. So we have him, the first and the last, beginning and the end. It's all in Christ, and in no other is there salvation. So we need to think about Jesus the Christ. The Apostle John gives us the words of Jesus, and we see him in his various roles as we have outlined them for you, as John recorded them. And we see him as he is revealed in Scripture. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings, our Savior. And Jesus himself then said, except you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. The book of John is a powerful means of us understanding the role that Jesus played in our salvation. And we can sum it up in just a few words and say Christ died for our sins. And that's it. But look how he is portrayed. And this is why the book of John makes it easy for us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life in his name. If you need to render obedience to Christ, we're ready to help you in that in any way that we can, and we will do what we can to help you come to Christ. And I thank you for your patient attention.